Welcome to the Profit Talks podcast, hosted by the Orange County Inland Empire SBDC Network, funded in part by the U.S. Small Business Administration and the California Office of the Small Business Advocate. This show is the go-to resource for business owners seeking empowerment, education, and resources to succeed. Join us as we connect you with experts, share the triumphs of fellow entrepreneurs, and reveal the wealth of assistance available to you today to level up your business. So let's go. Let's dive in and learn more. Well, I hope you're ready to learn, because I sure am. We're going to learn about a brand new center that the OCIE, Orange County Inland Empire, SBDC, Small Business Development Center, a lot of letters there, OCIE SBDC, starting yet another new center. And this one, I understand, is targeted at minority businesses and particularly minority startups. And here to talk about it are the folks who are hosting this new thing. I think it's out in the Inland Empire, Palm Springs area. We'll learn more. Let's bring them on and meet. We'll go ladies first here. I'm going to botch both your names, but I'm going to try not to. Carolina Rosas. Is that correct?
Yes, that's perfect.
And there's another, you put your, you could also be Savidra.
Yes,
I never understand Hispanic names. So you've got Rosas-Savidra, but she says you can just call me Carolina Rosas. Is that like a family name or your married name? Or explain the two names with the dash in between them here.
Absolutely. Carolina, my first name. I have a second name as well. And my first last name is Rosas.
Your first last name. Okay.
Yeah, I do have two last names. The first one is Rosas. And the second one, coming from my mother, from the mother line, is Saavedra.
Saavedra.
Exactly, yes.
I've never heard that's a very unusual. These are both Hispanic names from where?
From Spain, yes.
Oh, from Spain, okay.
Yes.
All right, so are you from Spain?
Actually, no, I'm from Chile. I was raised and born and raised there. And I do have family that is coming either from Spain and also from Germany. This is what I've learned recently from my great-grandmother.
Wow.
But okay. It's like really far away from me. It's
We're
like,
going to talk about that a whole nother day, because I'm
absolutely
fascinated with Chile and all that and that it offers here. Well, welcome to the show. And with you, you are the SBDC, the Caravan SBDC director. We're going to talk about that more. But your compatriot here is another international star. Mihai Patru, did I get that close?
Yes, well.
And I said, and you told me that's Romanian. I would
yes.
have never, I'm always trying to guess where names come from. I would have never guessed that one. Mihai Patru, how did you get, are you born in Romania?
Yes, and I've been in the U.S. since 2013.
Since 19, where?
2013,
okay. Yeah. And all right, we're going to talk all about, so you sure. together, you are the, again, this is one you're going to have to explain. Caravanserai, did I get that even close?
Perfect.
Caravanserai Project Executive Director. Sure. All right, so let's unpack some of this. We unpacked your names and your background. Let's unpack some of this thing here. Let's start with what is the Caravanserai Project and why are you hosting this new center?
Probably the the first thing that we should start with is what the...
See, I got them all nervous. I asked them all about their names, and now we're going to be coughing and choking here. I'm sorry if I threw you off by all this stuff.
No. What the
plenty of water there if you need some.
Yes, thank you, Paul. Right. What a caravanserai is. Everyone knows what a caravan is,
yeah,
right?
A caravan. You join, like the old wagon trains, you go across the West.
Exactly.
And, right. Or you create a caravan of cars to go to the football game or something, right?
And serais used to be the places where these caravans, these travelers used to stop, meet other travelers, get resources, sell their, you know, do trade,
yeah.
And then they were continuing on their journey.
And are these like the gypsy caravans in Europe or the American?
More the Silk Road caravans.
Oh, the Silk Road.
The traders,
oh,
explorers,
yeah.
And every once in a while they were stopping at these places that where they were getting new produce, exchanging information, learning about the challenges that
lie
ahead
of
them.
Because, think about that just for a second. I'm a big history buff. Marco Polo set out on this to explore the Silk Road in, I don't know what year, but it'd be like the 1200s or 1400s or something like that. And he decides to go from Italy, gets on this thing, and starts roughly kind of around Russia or something, what's now Russia, and it goes all through all the Central Asian countries, all the way to China. long did that take? It must have taken a year or something by a caravan, by a cart and an ox or a donkey or something to go this far.
And this idea of places where travelers and traders stop and meet are, you can find them everywhere.
Yeah.
They are in Latin America, they are in Asia, they are in Middle East, they are in Africa, they are in Europe. So when caravans launched in 2007, the idea was, 2016, sorry.
Right.
The idea was to create a platform that will accompany startup entrepreneurs, early stage entrepreneurs on their journey,
right,
and provide the resources, whether business support, access to capital, networking, as they are developing their and I think, you know, a natural growth for us as an organization is hosting the newest SBDC Center Caravan.
All right, we're going to go into all that. I'm still trying to figure out who you guys are. So is this Caravan Sarai project, is this a nonprofit? Is this
we
a for-profit?
We are a nonprofit, a 501c3 organization,
okay,
based in Palm Springs, California, serving the Inland Empire region and Central Valley.
But this is outside of the SBDC. This is an independent organization.
And yes, it's the host organization.
Thinking why you said it was fairly recent.
It was launched in 2016,
okay,
actually.
By who?
We were a group of three co-founders in Washington, D.C., and I'm one of the initial co-founders, and we all of us were working with social innovators, entrepreneurs, and we saw a need for a support system.
A place to gather as you're on this journey.
A place to gather, a place to access resources. And slowly one of our first projects and was a partnership with UC Riverside,
right,
where we developed their first social impact pre-accelerator called Seed Lab Pre-Accelerator.
Are you going to have to unpack that one again here? A something social accelerator here. What was it?
It's called Seed Lab.
Seed Lab, okay.
Pre-accelerator.
Oh, pre-accelerator. Is this before you're sort of just thinking?
That was our first project, and it's still hosted at Caravanserai Project in partnership with UCR Extension, and it's a one-year training program. It's a certificate program at UCR Extension.
How to become an entrepreneur?
Yes.
All right. How did you become an entrepreneur? What's your background? You come from Remain? Were you an entrepreneur? Do you come from entrepreneurs?
I come from a family of entrepreneurs. I was a career diplomat for over 13 years.
Oh, how cool is that?
For the Romanian government. And I transitioned through social impact, studied a couple of entrepreneurs that we are supporting in Southern California.
We could do a whole show with you on Romania.
Well,
and
have
post
me over next
the
time.
Soviet Union, the collapse of the Soviet Union, and what was it, Ceausescu, and
yes,
all this stuff here, and then the fall of him, and then these countries have gone through a lot of upheaval. And part of that upheaval has been going from communist countries,
yes,
socialist enterprises, to free enterprises.
Yep.
And it seems like that's been a struggle for a number of, not every country, but taking these state enterprises and privatizing them.
Yeah.
It sort of unloosed the Wild West, and lots
true
of crazy people and billionaires were made and insane stuff happened.
Exactly.
All right, so you did all that, and then you came. Why'd you come to the U.S.?
I was a transatlantic diplomatic fellow for the U.S. State Department.
Wow, am I impressed, or what? A transatlantic fellowship. So you get to study, and you came to the U.S. State Department here?
Yes.
And what was it? What was the theme that you're working on?
I was working on climate change.
There's no climate change, you know. That's all.
I know, it's a hoax.
It's just a joke. But, oh my God, it's very real. If it goes outside, every year is the hottest year on record.
I know.
All my relatives in the Midwest, there's no climate change. There's nothing there. Anyway, we won't go down that rabbit hole here. All right, so you came out and did all that. And then somewhere along the way, you fell into this idea that you and some other co-founders, you know, there is a need for entrepreneurship,
sure,
support. why focus on minority communities? That's the last place we think of developing entrepreneurs. It's all these groups at these universities. We're at University of California, Irvine. You're at University of California, Riverside. More and more they're represented by minorities, but they probably, that's not the target.
Sure. I think we need to start that conversation thinking about who actually is supporting the economy at community level.
Yeah.
And those are the very small business entrepreneurs. And I'm thinking here from the mom that has a childcare business.
Right. To every other big enterprise they start here.
The guy that 20 years ago, 30 years ago, immigrated to the U.S. and now is the owner of a barbershop.
Yeah.
Actually, these are the people that are keeping the community alive. They are generating revenue for their families, hiring from these communities, and supporting a whole infrastructure.
And again, it's no secret I'm not a big fan of the late president, so I don't want to go down that path. But I'm from the Midwest. I'm the core group that supports this anti-immigration, oh my God, immigrants. And I'm like, where do you think we all came from? 3-4 generations ago, I'm Irish.
Exactly.
Nobody wanted the drunk, illiterate, uneducated Irish anymore. They want any of these groups. We all come over. To me, immigrants are what make America unique and special.
I think the interesting one of the interesting facts about Caravanserai Project is that we are a team of 7.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone is an immigrant. Or a first generation.
Right.
Carolina
are
immigrants. Our colleagues are first generation. We have other immigrants on the team. And the reason we really wanted to focus on underserved entrepreneurs, minority
right.
entrepreneurs, is because these entrepreneurs need most support.
Yeah.
Whether they don't have access to resources.
They may not have any other mentors or anybody else to follow.
They don't have mentors. Right. They feel that they are not capable of running a business. They
right.
don't feel empowered enough.
They're
so,
in a foreign language, foreign country, foreign language anyway, not a foreign system, and now they're trying to make
exactly.
their way through.
So,
although, two interesting facts I've seen. I've been doing this now for 15 years. We have, and full disclosure, we do a show for the Orange County Hispanic Chamber of Commerce, where we've had lots of immigrants. Very successful immigrants, and they all come and tell the same story. I came to this country, I had nothing. Some of them left a lot. They left being an attorney or a business, and now they're here scrubbing floors and washing dishes, anything they can. That's the American
yeah.
dream. And many of them have said, you know, it's immigrants that keep the American dream alive. They come here believing more than us jaded, third and fourth generation Americans. This is real. With a lot of hard work and a little bit of luck, I can become anything I want to be. I can take it as far as I want. So they come to this country, and many of them are forced to become entrepreneurs because they don't speak the language, so they can't get a job. They don't have any job history, so they have to go out and hustle and do something, as my relatives did 3-4 generations ago here, as every immigrant group comes over.
One of our board members has a saying that the folks that we support and we encourage to become financially independent, all their existence once they come to the U.S. is about entrepreneurship.
Yeah.
Whether figuring out what school to take the kids on, what bus to take, what state agency they need to reach out to get support. Everything
right.
is about figuring out a way. Everything is about entrepreneurship.
And again, imagine if I went to Chile or to Romania. How would I even know where to start? Where do
exactly.
I go? Who to talk to? How it works? What the official papers are I have to get, and the setups and everything else, and the opportunities there. And I'm struggling with the Romanian language. So I think it's amazing. I don't know how we turn this narrative on its head that somehow immigrants are the problem. Immigrants are the answer.
Yep.
That's what's always, in my opinion, made America exceptional. Take everybody from the world and see what we can make out of them. We make a country out of a collection of people, often from the bottom of the barrel, like my ancient relatives, the desperate, a couple of generations, and watch what happens. I think it's an amazing story.
And Carolina and I have so many stories to share about the entrepreneurs that we have supported and the progress they have made over a very short period of time. And
well, let's bring Carolina into this. She told me ahead she might be a little nervous, so I'm trying to stay away from her here. How is it your story the same? How did you stumble into this whole thing? How did you get from Chile to here?
That's a very interesting question.
You ask yourself.
Yeah. I could say that it was an accident at the beginning, sure. But I'm very, very happy to be here now. I moved with my family at that moment, husband and son, because of a professional project. The initial idea was staying here in the U.S. for 2 years and then going back.
Right.
Then probably trying Europe. That was the initial plan.
Okay.
And then all of a sudden, I'm, you know, after 7 years.
Why Europe? What was it that about? Was Europe more appealing to you culture-wise or opportunity-wise? What, I've never heard anybody say, well, let's say I got a choice. I'll stay here, yeah. Be an entrepreneur, I'll go to Europe.
Exactly. You know, it was all about timing as well for me personally, professionally as well. And
were you going to go back to like Spain where they speak Spanish, or were you going to go to Italy or Germany or wherever?
Actually, it was Belgium, the initial plan.
Belgium,
yeah.
Okay. Country I never even think of here. Okay, let's go to Belgium, honey. All right.
Because we had some connections there. You know, I'm originally a biotech, so
okay.
My background is science initially.
Okay.
However, I joined the science the program there at the University of Chile in my country because the idea and the reason why I joined that program was learning how I can move technologies and knowledge actually into market.
And what kind of science? So you're trying to do what they do here at UCI's Applied Innovation Center.
Exactly.
Trying to take technology and turn it into something. There's all this academic research or student ideas, and then they try and say, well, that's great, but let's make a company out of it here.
Exactly. This is one of my passions actually for me was creating businesses around technology and science. That was the original plan. In Chile, I started a company there. I had a business partner, which was my PI. We are still together in the company. It's a startup company there.
What's a PI?
My principal investigator. It's like your mentor in science.
Okay.
We both started a business there.
I thought that it was like a private investigator, and you were.
Well,
I'm going to date myself. A Tom Selleck and Magnum PI or something. A private investigator. Jim Rockford files. No, you don't even remember those shows. All right.
Thank you. That's the story there in Chile. I realized that for startup, biotech startups, you need, you know, good amount of money to start, a lot of investment.
And it's a long runway.
It's
10 years to bring this thing to market. You got to go through all these tests. That's the problem they have here, they're getting investors. I want something that gives me a return next year, not in 10 years.
That's right. But you know what? The return is really good you know, decades. I would say that for me, after 10 years, I recently received a patent that was accepted in Chile. We file another one.
So you're rich now and you don't have anything to do. This is it. She's multi-millionaire, billionaire.
That's the plan. We're still raising money there.
Okay.
You know, we haven't sell like good, the actual product, but we've been developing for many years.
What's the product? You know, tell me all the specifics, but what's the product? What do you do? Is it a drug? Is it a biotech? Is it a device? Is it an app? What is it?
Well, everything is plant-based.
Plant-based,
a lot of different formulations for regulating flowering. You know, Chile is a country where you can find a lot of agricultural activities. Yeah. So that's why we.
So instead of the bee, you're gonna make all this stuff flower and bloom here or something.
We want to regulate the blooming. Actually, that's the idea.
Wow.
And for
I feel way out of my head here, folks. This is we got a scientist, we got a traveling fellow from the Romanian Foreign Service who was at a fellowship at the State Department. You're pretty impressive backgrounds here. So you've created the come together, and you're running this center for the SBDC. Is that what you're doing?
Yeah, actually, this is what for me is very interesting because I was always passionate about entrepreneurship. Chile is very strong in that.
Is it? Okay. I know nothing about the Chilean economy here.
Chile is a small country, you know, but we have a big mindset and big heart, I could say. Sometimes we are not aware of what's going on in terms of our reality, but we do know that we want to, you know, think big and, you know, go beyond. That's the only thing that you will find in Chile.
I'm going to show what little I know about. I'm a typical American. I know a little bit. I'm sort of fascinated with. I was going to go into the Foreign Service a million years ago. I studied at the University of Michigan thinking I was going to be a U.S. diplomat. That didn't happen for a variety of reasons. I got into radio. I got stuck in this crazy thing. And Chile seems to go through these upheavals every couple of years. They go very far left, very far right, very far left, very far right. They go back and forth with these.
Yes.
Right now they went very what we would think is far left, I think, recently here.
Apparently, it looks like.
Yeah.
But, you know, all this back and forth, I would say, has shaped a little bit our mind, the generations as well. I learned here the word resilience.
Resilience, yeah. You got to be resilient.
Yeah, you kind of become that, but also very optimistic people. In my opinion, that's the thing that I've learned when I came here. And, you know, by comparing myself with, you know, the rest of the immigrants, I had no idea that I was an immigrant, honestly.
I'm an immigrant? When did that happen?
Yeah, I had no idea about all these concepts, first generation, you know. And for me, I think it was an advantage. Because in that way, you are not aware of limitations, probably.
Yeah. Oh, I can't do this because I'm an immigrant. Yeah. Oh,
exactly.
I'm going to self-limit. That's not
exactly.
For immigrants.
I was so unaware that I just wanted to explore how people do businesses here, how I can start. Sorry. So
because business is kind of business, whether it's China or Romania or Chile or whatever. It's all based on profit and loss. And can you find a market for your product and can you sustain it and build? I mean, it's kind of a common language around the world.
But
it may run differently in different parts of the world, but it's the same concept.
It is. But you know what, Paul, in the U.S., one of the things that I really admire and love is the support for small business owners. I've been in Europe, in China, and always asking how people do businesses, you know, across different generations and group of people.
Young and old, rich and poor, big business, little business.
Exactly.
Right.
The U.S., in my opinion, has a really good model through SBDC, very strong. A lot of resources available for even for individuals, like 101 consulting, 101.
So do you mind if we go a couple minutes late? Because we're coming to the end of the show and I haven't even begun to talk about the center.
Yeah.
I'm just fascinated with your story.
Yeah, we're getting there. We're getting there.
All right. So I am, full disclosure, I am a consultant with the SBDC part-time. I have this business I run full-time. And like many, what's unique, I think, about the SBDC, it's not one of these organizations that relies on retired people. We used to do this. This is how we did it once and giving back. It's people who actively have businesses right now or you know, gone through. These are experts in their fields in raising money or in retail management or in starting restaurants or biotech or franchising or all these crazy things. They've got, I don't know, 100 plus consultants in this greater network. And through the show, I'm even learning. I didn't even know they have all these specialty centers, the contract center where they help you get a contract with the government, or the finance center and some other thing. And that's the one I work for. And so now here's another center. Why do we need another center? Is it just because this is still an underrepresented group? We're talking about minorities, not just Hispanic, but any immigrants, people who are trying to find a way in this country and maybe don't have the same advantage. I don't even say advantages. They just even know where to go or what to do, right?
Exactly. And as you said, Paul, there are different approaches that a business needs for starting and for expanding as well. So our specialty center is going to be primarily focused on helping people and supporting individuals to start a business.
When did this whole startup world change? I guess, you know, when I was a kid, I'm in my mid-60s. When I was a kid in the 60s, nobody was an entrepreneur. I never even heard that word until like the 70s or 80s. The joy was to go get a job and work for somebody for the rest of your life. That was what the assumption was, whether it was in a factory or as an executive, but you worked for somebody else. I didn't know anybody that worked for themselves. And then somewhere along the way, now these kids come in today, there's an entrepreneurship center here at UCI and just about every college. That's a course, that's a direction. They want to be entrepreneurs. They want to work for themselves. You're going to say something.
I think the idea of workforce has changed. Mm-hmm. And COVID obviously had a huge impact.
Yeah.
Especially in underserved communities, minorities. Why do you have to work for somebody or be rejected by a potential employer when you can own your business? You can become your own boss.
I'll give you a perfect example. We had somebody, not on this show, but another show come in. And he just started a company to make toffee, you know, that like chocolatey kind of candy type of stuff, toffee. And he worked for FedEx for 25 years in a pretty good job. And somewhere along, and his mother had this recipe of how to family recipe people, and he started selling it on the side. And then he was going to the swap meet. And pretty soon people said, why don't you quit your job? He said, are you crazy? I got a good salary, a steady job, 25 years. I'm going to jump into this crazy world called being an entrepreneur. COVID came along. He said, I'm going to go.
Yep.
Now or never. And he said, I risked a lot. I got a family. I got a house. I got things to do. And I'm now trying to sell toffee out of a little retail store and hopefully expand this. But he's passionate about it, and he's in control of it.
And imagine he had access to resources. He had, let's say, a stable economic and family situation.
Right.
But the people that the center, the Caravan SBDC and Caravanserai Project are serving are people that sometimes they don't have any alternative. Being an entrepreneur is the only thing that keeps them going, provides for their families.
Yeah.
Put in a lot of the cases, that's how they are able to put a roof over their families.
And he was fascinated. I'm going to do a shout out to the SBDC. You know, he comes in. This is on another show, just talking about this entrepreneurial journey and this crazy toffee he makes. And I said, have you ever called anybody at the SBDC? He didn't even know it existed. He didn't know these free resources are out there. Free resources,
well,
folks.
That's why
to go help people, because every whether it's left or right or center, every government that comes in, every administration says we got to help small businesses. It's the engine of growth for things. Small businesses turn into big businesses. More people are employed by small businesses than corporations. I think maybe I'm wrong
on
that,
true.
But so if we all want to drive this, Republicans, Democrats, Independents all want to drive this, and that's why the SBA and the state, others fund organizations like the SBDC, Small Business Development Centers. Just go help these people. And all you have to show is they have to go back and say, okay, they hired some people, they grew, they increased the revenue. There's no cost. They just need some metrics to go back and say, it's working. We're doing something.
Yeah.
And then they keep getting funding. And it's like they think it's one of the best kept secrets in town here. This and other programs, not the only one. Lots of resources, you said, for entrepreneurs. I wouldn't think there are a lot for minority groups, just because, I don't know, how do you find people who act as mentors in those groups, communicate? We may or may not speak the same language. I don't know. Mm-hmm. Fascinating. Where to do. Why out in Palm Springs? Why way out there?
Because
everybody groaned when I said that. Okay.
The heart of the Inland Empire.
Yeah.
We are in between the Coachella Valley, known for being the home of so many immigrants and entrepreneurs as well. And Riverside, San Bernardino County. So it just felt like a good...
And it's beautiful out there.
Full disclosure,
I inherited...
It was heavily raining today, so it wasn't that beautiful.
Full disclosure, I inherited a house out there when my late father died and left me a house out in that area that I rent out. And boy, it's just... It is kind of like California the way it used to be. It's kind of paradise. There's a lot to do, but it's not so big that it's crowded. It's not L.A. It's not crowded and smoggy and jammed and everything there. All right, so from there, you serve anywhere. I assume people in Orange County here could still work with the center, even though you're there and they're here.
The idea of Caravan SBDC is to provide services across the Inland Empire and also for the Orange County for all the Spanish speakers.
Mm-hmm.
Community.
Is that the target group? If you're a Farsi, what about there's a big Farsi community here or Philippine community? Or there's lots of other ethnic group, Chinese and Koreans and whatnot. Do you serve those, or right now you're just starting with Spanish speakers?
At the moment, we are starting with the Spanish speaking community. However, the Orange County Inland Empire SBDC has a big network of mentors who speak all different languages.
I'm amazed all the time.
Exactly. Recently, I met one of the directors of the centers at University of San Francisco, I think, CSUF. And she had, for example, other mentors who speak other second languages as well. So primarily, we're going to receive people who speak Spanish. We're going to provide mentoring and training programs in Spanish. The idea as well is to help communities to think beyond the typical business models. That's primarily my mindset as well. I would love to see more Spanish speakers here to think about other opportunities for doing businesses.
Biotech or whatever.
I would love to see that, because actually there is a lot of potential. We had the experience the last year with the affiliate program, where we train over 200 people. I was part of the curriculum. I designed it, and also I trained the people. I would say that more than training or educating. We learn together how to do business.
But somebody's got to guide them. You're the Sherpa that shows them the way up the mountain here. Yeah.
And because of that experience, that's how and that's why we design a center that is going to be a place to bring people to also bring their knowledge in terms of how they run businesses. Because there is a lot of technical support that we can provide and we must provide, However, we've learned out of the people, from the people that is, doing businesses, There are other many details on how they run businesses. So we have to adapt and kind of customize the way that we can provide these services for this Spanish-speaking community because it's a different group.
So in a couple words, we're already over our time, but I'll give you a few more minutes. Give me a story or two. Tell me an example of who you served and what you did for them. That's what people want to hear. I'm sorry I got fascinated by both of your stories here, but it's part of, again, you're immigrants yourselves here to this country. You're new to this country, and you have apparently very strong backgrounds in both countries where you came from here, adding to the knowledge base that's here, but you quickly said there's a hole here for people who want to come to this country or live in this country and want to move up as entrepreneurs. So you created the center. SBDC's, you're hosting it out there. Where is it hosted? Is it just your facility out there?
Yeah, we have an office, a couple of offices in Palm Springs, downtown Palm Springs, where we actually will start meeting people in person if they want to stop by.
Wow. And what else does the foundation do? Is this their sole project right now? Or are you going to spin out other projects that have nothing to do with the SBDC?
Yes, and we always done supporting entrepreneurs through different projects, different engagement with the employment training panel, with GoBiz, with the city of Palm Springs.
Right.
But our main job, if you want to call it like that, is to identify and support small business entrepreneurs. And obviously,
that's your mission that you came here. This is a nonprofit that you and a few people spun, and you must get funding from different foundations or governments or entities.
Our idea of small business, we work with sole proprietors, for-profit businesses, and nonprofit businesses.
Mm.
So we really try to serve any entrepreneurs, regardless
big and small.
Because
so often we think of entrepreneurs, we think of mom and pop shops, this guy with his little retail store. But they're clearly coming to this building. There are all sorts of, and there's a ton of entrepreneurs and a ton of immigrants in this building where I'm at, the UCI Beale Applied Innovation Center, where it's mostly biotech or biodevices. I'd say probably half of them or more, probably three quarters of them are immigrants from somewhere. They're Chinese, they're Iranian, they're Indian, they're something here. And many of them came to the U.S. to study here. And then they came up with some idea, and now they're trying to take that idea and turn it into something. Some of them, huge success. The guy around the corner, this Chinese group, they got $200 million they raised to build a battery here, a new type of car battery.
Yeah.
So you never know.
Of course.
The assumption is, I'm going to help small startups and businesses. It's going to be mom and pop restaurants, retail locations, service providers, but it could be anything. Could be big stuff, too.
Exactly, yes.
You never know. Even a food truck can become a huge company by adding,
a
more
fleet. Yeah,
why not? We've seen that, and we see some of our entrepreneurs.
So, give me a story that sums it up. Of you, give me one story. Here, we'll start with Carolina.
I mean, the most, I would say, lovely story that I have.
Yeah, that's what we're looking for lovely stories.
And I would say that's why. In my role as a director as well, it's going to be connected with businesses in their day-to-day activities. That is crucial for us to understand and appreciate how businesses work in the U.S. for this Spanish-speaking community.
Has there been studies on that? I don't know that anybody analyzes how it's different for that group versus every other group, but not just the challenges, the obstacles you think of. Mentors, you think of money, maybe you think of language barriers, but I don't know. Do young Hispanic entrepreneurs think differently than young, I don't know, Irish Midwesterners like
actually,
me here?
There are very good reports from Stanford University, for example, from Kauffman Foundation as well. One of the things that call my attention a lot is the way that they think in terms of they are very good at starting businesses.
Mm-hmm.
However, the revenue amount that they generate per year is lower. It can be lower than if you compare with other groups in the U.S.
Mm-hmm.
And I would say that, in my opinion, is about the mindset and how they run businesses. So those are the things that I would love to develop more in terms of.
I'll give you one crazy one just for that I've seen. In 15 years of doing this, we're in Orange County. There's a large expat Vietnamese community here, the largest outside of Vietnam, I'm told. They came here, in the fall of Saigon, and they just started, many of them, from scratch, from the bottom up again, even though they'd been professionals or whatever in their own country, and now they've had to start from scratch and do things. And part of it was a distrust of banks, or not an understanding of banks. Yeah. It's a cash-based world that they live in.
Exactly.
Because that's the only way they got out. The money they had in the bank got taken. So they're reluctant to put it back into banks. And yes, therefore, they run these things sort of as shadow businesses. Even though they might be very successful, they pay some taxes, but most of it's a cash business, and they kind of, you know, it exists in a shadow economy here. Is that exactly. That would be a challenge if you wanted to grow or sell or whatever, because you don't have the records and the books and all these things to show. Or maybe you can't then qualify for loans and other things because you can't demonstrate your revenue and other things.
Absolutely. Cash flow, finances as well, you know, understanding and having them, like, maybe even keeping track of things. That is very important. Things that we've noticed that they are not maybe doing on a regular basis, and also...
Which, again, doesn't matter if it's just for me, but if I want to grow, if I want to bring investors, if I want to sign a lease, I want to go to a bank and get a loan, then I got to show up what I got. If I'm not tracking it, I can't prove it. Mm-hmm. How do I do what American system businesses want? If you want money, then you got to show me you're making money here.
Right? Exactly. And so those are the things that we've learned that we have to support. We have to maybe provide knowledge, but also help them to believe in what they do. Because sometimes it's all about the mindset as well. And I would say that is also very tied to the population that we see. And however, the potential is huge. They have a lot of energy as well. They are very active. They, you know, you have to see them supporting each other as well. So that's why Caravan SBDC is also a place for bringing together people. That's why the name as well, Caravan, a group of people
right along,
traveling and, you know, moving forward together.
The other thing I saw with a lot of, I can think of a couple that I got to know that came in and did some interviews, a Vietnamese group that was building a ton of these donut shops. Yep. A lot of them find something focused on fast food, donut shops, a Korean dry cleaners. I don't know, they'll have certain things. They come here and everybody else, their other families doing it. So I'll get into that. I'll get into the donut business. And the way they do it, they literally, it sounds ridiculous, they just get together at their house and they just put a pool of money together, like a pot filled with cash. How much you need? $200,000. All right, here's 10, here's 20, whatever. And it's no formal agreements. There's no written documents. It's just family and shake hands, and it's all cash. And okay, great. So now you want to expand beyond that and get a loan from a bank, sign bigger leases, other sorts of things. They're going to say, we can't deal with you. You don't exist. It's just a pile of cash that you all put together. There's no agreements. There's no partnerships. There's no nothing here.
Mm-hmm. No, absolutely.
And a distrust of everybody outside the family, too. That's what they said.
But also, you know, harness that value as well.
Right.
Because they trust in each other. So the idea for Caravan SBDC is to leverage that, you know, and highlight that as well.
On the flip side, I'm sorry to cut you off, but the story I'll tell that they always told me is, they said, you look at us, you, Mr. American, you know, raised in America, Midwest guy here, and you think we're crazy because we work this way. Mm-hmm. And we have all these businesses, and they got 20, 30 donut shops, and it's all family thing, and aunts and cousins and everybody are all involved in this thing here. And they work, to me, in human hours. They'll come in at 3:00 in the morning and they'll work all day, and then they go to a second one and they go to the third one. I mean, they're working 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, no vacations, no nothing, no enjoyment of the money, just make, because it's generational. We're going to make this for the next generation. My job is to produce.
I think, you know, to your idea and what Caro was mentioning about the mindset, I think that's what made our work stand out.
Mm-hmm.
Not just having the Caravan SBDC Center, but the work that Caro has been doing over the last couple of years is really building that trust with the entrepreneurs through, you know, meeting them where they are, providing different opportunities, and even bringing banks to them, that by introducing them with these bankers and these banks that we trust and we identify, that really facilitates, makes them confident.
Yes.
And
because many of them told me, we won't go to a bank, or we don't feel comfortable going to a bank. Literally put it in a mattress, literally bury it in the backyard.
One of the things that we have done, Caravanserai Project has done over the last 2 years, we also been providing access to capital.
Yeah.
So that was, had a huge impact, boost their self-confidence, because suddenly there is somebody trusting them with $10,000 to continue their business.
Right.
And Obviously, it was we had to trust them that they are going to use the funds appropriately, right. But also they had to trust us accepting the money.
Yeah,
and
that was the gist of what they're saying. We live in our own family. We just all pull the funds together. It's very quiet. We don't need contracts. We don't need arrangements. Just everybody knows what they're doing. This is a family-run business, and you know we don't need. We're not going to get in lawsuits. We don't. You know, we don't take care. We don't look for loans. No, all that kind of stuff. The other thing, though, I'll throw this in. So at the end of the conversation, he said, "Well, you look at us and think we're kind of crazy the way we do business." And he said, "This is a Vietnamese group talking to me." And they said, "We think you're crazy because we came to this country with nothing, desperate after the fall of Vietnam, and did anything we could, collected boxes, collected things, scrubbed dishes, anything we could do to survive. And many of them had been doctors and lawyers and other people in these other countries, but now they're doing anything to survive." And he said, "We think America has literally streets paved with gold, and you third, fourth, fifth generation Americans, are too lazy to pick it up. You don't see it, or you don't even bend over. I'm comfortable. I'm okay." They come with nothing. They're so grateful at the opportunity, and they work harder than anybody I've ever seen in my life to pick it up. They just do business in a different way.
But you know what, Paul? The other thing, the other side that you know, I see it as well is to appreciate the level of calm that an American can have. This is the way that I've learned as well from lots of Americans.
The level of what? I'm sorry?
Of calm. You kind of are relaxed. When you
calm.
Are relaxed.
Okay, calm, right.
Yeah, when you are relaxed, you can think better. So
that's
caravan
true.
Is
You're not
easy.
In a panic. Yeah.
You're not panicking.
Not
you are
desperate.
Not in a survival mode.
Right.
And I would say that most of the immigrants, they are living constantly in this survival mode. So Caravan SBDC, with all the technical support, mentoring, training programs, comes to also bring this space where they can feel comfortable and can think better.
Interesting.
That's the main idea as well. You know, we are covering all the technical parts.
So it's not just training and mentoring. Let me show you how to do it by somebody who's been there and done it. It's understanding, as you say, where they're at, the popular term to let's deal with people where they're at. They maybe have distrust. They have a different way of doing business. It's family. It's not as structured, whatever it's. And starting with that and then making them come forward, making them explore other options and be comfortable integrating into the system here.
And that is crucial for how the economy is moving right now because it's moving fast, it's changing all the time. And if we are going to be panicking all the time because of that, we are going to end up being, you know, maybe in a bad situation.
Aren't we a more stressed out society because of it? I think that shows in our politics, it shows in our health care, is that we're all just stressed out and
exactly. So the decisions are not going to be good or properly made.
Right.
So that's why Caravan SBDC wants to bring the space to, okay, let's relax. Here are the resources. We have access to capital. We have mentors. We have experts. We have other centers where we can also
marketing
bring
support
help.
Or other sorts
finances,
of things.
Marketing, contracting, certifications. We have a big group of women-owned businesses that they are not aware of the certifications, for example, where they have other opportunities. So we are going to provide
where they have advantage or once they had disadvantages.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So we are providing all these resources, but also providing the space to kind of let's relax. And actually, this is part of the research as well. You can be relaxed. Once you are relaxed, you can think better. You can think beyond and differently so that we can create new business models.
And the proof of that is you came in and said, I'm a little unrelaxed. And now you're relaxed and we're having a conversation here.
And the first step is saying, I am nervous.
Yeah,
I am, you know. And that's why you start. And that's why I started to kind of disclose that. That's my state right now. Businesses have done that in our sessions as well. And it's incredible how they open and they start like sharing their stories, sharing their, sometimes their challenges, And our goal is to kind of shift the focus a little bit. Okay, we understand that it is difficult, but it was. It's just, you know, we are moving forward. We can do it.
And you're here now.
You're already here. Yeah. You already, you know, travel miles
to get here. The hardest part's getting here. Yeah.
Exactly. So Why don't we give kind of the space to families as well? Because we receive a lot of family-owned businesses to think differently in a way that...
I would think a lot of immigrants start up family-owned businesses.
Yep. Yes.
One, because that's how they pull the resources. Two, they're comfortable.
Yes.
I don't know if I can hire somebody, but I know how to work with my cousins. And they have a different family ethic. You know,
yes.
I don't know that people in my family would be any less likely to screw me over than an employee would. But somehow in these, most of these other ethnic communities, no, family is very important. You, you might mess with somebody else, but don't mess with the family.
And actually, that is the component that we wanted to integrate in a Caravan SBDC. We are going to provide training and workshop series for the families, for the whole family, because that was our experience in the past with Caravan Serai Project. In our affiliate program and the business readiness training program, we had the audience. Our audience were families, you know, gathering together.
And the whole family's probably in this.
Yes.
Even if the little kids, they're sweeping up or helping out or doing something. Somebody came in a restaurant and they said, I grew up in a Mexican restaurant family. And from the minute you could walk, you were doing something. You were cutting potatoes or something here.
Absolutely.
It's
and
a family enterprise.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
We have also been customers of our own businesses
as well.
Well,
why not? You got to support
them.
And
that's the idea, and also provide all the
resources. You got to come back. We got to get whoever booked this episode to have you come back. And this next time, bring some examples. Bring some people who I'd love to hear them talk, not just you talk about them.
Absolutely.
But to have in their own words say, I was scared. I was uncertain. And I wasn't sure about this thing, but here's how I found it, and here's how it's helped me, or here's what I've learned out of
just
riding along.
A quick thing about the examples. We, last year, over the last 2 years, we've been supporting and funding over 200 Spanish-speaking entrepreneurs.
Wow.
They
Who
had access to $1.5 million from the employment training panel through us. And because we saw them, how engaged they are and the progress they've made, I think it was last August, we decided, well, why don't we put everyone in the first Hispanic small business directory that the Inland Empire ever had.
There you go.
And we published this directory with over 150 businesses. They shared their stories. But actually, when we launched the directory in September, I think we had over 200 people there. They were sharing with their families their names in the directory.
There you go.
And that for them
was
they
huge.
Got the funding, but the validation that somebody is seeing them, somebody is supporting them,
and we're not
somebody's
alone.
There. You know, the Caravan Serai model and the caravan model is you go when you need, and there is always somebody there to support you.
Well, you know, in this country, we grew up probably more in my generation, my parents' generation, this idea of the West. America started on the East Coast, and eventually we spread across the country, and all the stories of the cowboys in the West. And it's always about caravans. It's always about wagon trains. And it was always about communities. Because the only way you survive, not just attacks by Native Indians, but attacks from wolves and attack from the snow and the famine and everything, was together. It was forming a band, circling the wagons. That's how you protected yourself from all the elements, from all the challenges that you face. So we grew up as a country with that kind of caravan mentality. We weren't born in place, most European countries, Romania, whether they've been there since the Roman times, as I understand it. Romania goes back, that's why it's Roman. Chile, you know, has obviously a long part of the offshoot of the Spanish Empire is down there. These societies have been in place for a long time. America has been a mobile caravanning society for most of its life.
That's right.
There you go.
And it still is.
Still is.
Right? We still move from one place
California.
To
California. We all came here in search of something. You know, California gold. What a fascinating story. Well, we went double what we were supposed to do here. I'm sorry. But what a fascinating tale. I'd love to have you come back. I'm not in control in booking the guests, but I'm going to put in a word that they should have you come back, and you should bring somebody with you.
We will.
Who will talk about what the experience is like.
You mentioned at the beginning of the show, we officially launched
the center on
February 15th in Palm Springs.
Okay.
And whoever wants to join us there starting 11 a.m., you'll actually get to meet many of the entrepreneurs we have been supporting, we have
there
been funding. Some of them will bring their products to show and talk about their experiences as entrepreneurs and how important.
Do they pull up
get.
With a wagon and horses? Maybe.
You'll have to come and see and learn more about Caro's strategy
to circle the wagons
when
and
it
help
comes
everybody.
To caravan SBDC.
What if I didn't get any of it when you walked in? I was struggling to get this metaphor. Now I got it. It's the old West. It's cowboys and trains and moving to new areas and together and supporting each other and circling the wagons and helping each other. All right, I get it. If people want to get it, how do they find you? What's the websites, phone numbers, whatever?
We are at caravanserideproject.org. Our location in Palm Springs is 2150 Tuckwitz.
Tuckwitz, so that's right near downtown?
It's right near downtown, between downtown and the airport.
Right.
And is a walk-in office.
You got to get him to how to say it, though. It's not Tuckwitz, it's Tuckwitz.
Everyone is welcome to join us, and they will find us also on Orange County Land Empire SBDC website. Mm-hmm. We are all over social media. So, yeah, we are there.
Shout out to the SBDC for having the courage and foresight to see a need and to fill it, as they continue to do with these specialty centers. Really, I know that's partly what this show is about, but even I'm amazed. Having been a consultant in the network, I had no idea the depth and breadth of the resources. And what a cool idea. I get it now. It's a wagon train. This is a wagon train movie here. All right. A Western. All right. Anything else you want to say, Carolina?
Absolutely. Maybe you can contact us as well at caravan@ociesbdc.org. Caravan, C-A-R-A-V as a victory, A-N, at OC for Orange County.
I-E.
I-E for Inland Empire.
Way too many letters in this organization. O-C-I-E, Orange County Inland Empire for the SBDC.
Small Business Development Center.org.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Thank
Hope to
you
see
so
you
much.
Again. And thanks for coming in, making the trek into UCI here today from out in the Inland Empire.
Thank you for having me.
As we conclude another episode of the Profit Talks podcast, we hope we've empowered your entrepreneurial spirit. Reach out to us to connect with our experts, and let's take your business to the next level. Keep those dreams alive, keep pushing forward, and stay tuned for more. And if you liked what you heard in today's podcast and you want your business to reach new heights, just contact us at profittalkspodcast.org or call us at 1-800-616-7232. That's 1-800-616-7232. So until next time, keep thriving.